to you I will give the land of Cana as a portion for your inheritance. Now, I hope you remember that the land of Canaan is far more than that little sliver called Israel. The land of Canaan goes way back into Iraq, down through Saudi Arabia, and up through Egypt, and then takes into little sliver that Israel has obtained. So when they talk about the promised land, that's the promised land, not that little tiny piece that they have. It turned into an everlasting covenant. Covenant is the Latin word for testament, so we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, or we can interchange them and say we have the new covenant and the old covenant. A covenant is how God does three things. First, it's how he chooses us. The second is how he redeems us. And third, he guarantees us eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Psalm 105 is a beautiful picture of the majesty that reveals certain aspects of the Father that we don't find anywhere else in Scripture. We see his faithfulness through the ages to a small group of people, Israel. He has chosen to be their God, and they are his people. He shows his truthfulness in every situation of life and his glorious righteousness. God always shelters his people as he reveals as a teacher to them about the goodness through our adversity. Love comes from adversity that God gives us. We have adversity, God gives us love. Isn't that a great thing? We can go through all kinds of things. And we do. And we do, but God's love is always there. Always there to minister to us. His redeeming love is played out in many famous stories. The mystery and leadership are only a part of the great mystery of his way. The eternal covenant between God and Jesus leads to the covenant of grace. It is between God and man. God promises eternal salvation to man based on the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Please notice the following in the process of time. God made a covenant with Adam, and that covenant was the covenant of works, the law of obedience. Adam was to do certain things, and God would provide for him. Adam was to take care of the garden. He was to name the animals. He was not to listen to his wife as she ate from the tree. He should have instructed her and said, no, we're not doing that. Okay? Wasn't Eve's fault. Guess what? It was Adam's fault. Don't blame the woman for that. Blame the man. And I want you to notice that from the very beginning of time, God flourishes with us when we are obedient to him. And I want you to remember that word, obedience, because we're going to talk about it a little bit later. Noah, there's a promise to Noah, isn't there? It's the beautiful rainbow that sits in the sky. And that's the promise that he'll never do what he did again. And there's a promise to Abraham, the promise of land and descendants. He promised Noah the land, and he promised as many descendants as there were stars in the sky. Wow. And then to Moses. He gave Moses the law. That was the covenant of the law. He gave David the promise that his descendants had an everlasting kingdom and will be known as his sons forever and ever. The word everlasting is a Hebrew word, boresh, and it means created out of nothing forever. Not bora, which is the he created out of nothing. This goes a little bit deeper than that. And then there's the new covenant. The law would be one day written on the hearts of every believer from Jeremiah. We don't have to carry a stone around with us that it's been written on. In Israel, there are stones all over the place, and there's piles of stones that have been placed there, so people will remember certain things. At the at the Jordan River, there's the stones that Joshua placed there when they crossed over, and it was for a memory. He says, when your kids come here and ask, what are those stones doing here? You can tell them. And parents, listen to me. Why don't you tell your kids about the marvelous things God has done for you? Your stones of remembrance. Let them flourish in that. Let them know there's a God that cares. And there's a God who acts. And not just sits up in heaven. Tell them. Tell them what God has done for you. And if you don't want to do it, call me. I'll tell them. I'll bore your whole family for about a day. There's the promise that was made in Eden to Adam. And it was proclaimed to Abraham. And it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In this week's readings, we have Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2, and Psalm 6, 1 and 2, and Psalm 7, 102. And it says, praise the Lord, for He is, what? Good. God is good. The Lord is good.
He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and You are Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
The Lord's goodness is something that we can experience day in and day out. The Lord's goodness is something you can't is something that you can't shake. It's there. God is always good, and He is trustworthy with everything. Covenants man make with man, and we're gonna have a little visual demonstration here this morning. I want you to pretend in your mind that right here there's a heifer, a bull, 1 year old, and it's dead. It's on the, it's laying like this. You remember in the, how many guys in the military? You remember when you were in the military going through basic training and they said, get on your back and say this, you are a dying cockroach. You are a dying cockroach. Well, the heifer is not saying that. Okay, the heifer's not saying that, but he's here. Right in back of him is a ram, 1 year old, without a blemish. And behind him is a goat. And then there's a dove and a pigeon. Now, the pigeon and the dove were not touched. The heifer, the ram, and the goat were. They were split up the middle and torn apart, and they were spread apart. And today, we have one of the meat cutters who did that right here. And he is going to join us. And you are going to cut them up, aren't you? That's right. Okay, do your thing. That's it. Cut them up. Okay, not me now. Just, whoa, okay. Spread them apart. Okay, there you go. There you go. Thank you. Can we give him a hand for what he did? Yes. Okay. We also have with us today Chief Habib Habib, who is the purveyor of grains and food. And he's going to come out and stand on one side. You stand over there. Okay. And we have Chief Abdul Abdullah. And he is the Great Warrior Tribe. He is chief of the Great Warrior Tribe. Now, when they made a covenant, and this is all in Scripture, by the way, in Genesis and Leviticus. Okay, I'm not just making this up. Okay, they communicated. They talked to one another. All right, and they're going to do a little conversation here for us. Okay?
Greetings to you, great gatherer of food. Greetings back to you, great warrior. I have come to seek food for my men, and I have come to seek protection for my enemies. I can offer you protection, and I can offer you provision. May it be done to us.
No, not yet. Okay. So they talk to one another, okay? And they explain what they needed. So here we have this warrior tribe needs food. And he can provide the food, but he needs protection from his enemies. So both of them have something that they can offer and something that they need. Amen? Okay. And so they make an agreement. Now, bring it back up to here. Wouldn't it be nice if young people, instead of going out and making out, okay, and I know what you do, okay, because we did it, okay, you know, you're not pulling anything over our eyes, okay, would sit and talk. And if they were serious, they would talk about things that were important to them. A young girl would say, this is what I need from a man. And the young boy would say, well, I think I can do that, but it's going to be a stretch for me. Okay, but I'm going to try because I love you. But this is what I need from you. And they go back and forth and they walk in between the animals and they talk and they share. Wouldn't that be great? What about two people in the church that get sort of crossways with one another? Wouldn't it be nice if they sat down in the midst of the sacrifice and talk to each other? Well, you know, you sort of hurt me when you said this. Well, I really didn't mean it like that. And I'm sorry. And they healed that breach that happened. Wouldn't that be nice? Do you see what God can do with a covenant? Okay? Now, there's blood all over the place here. And it's pretty messy, and I know Suzanne can't wait to get up here and clean it up. But the last thing they did was this. The warrior gave the provider his sword. Okay? And the provider gave the warrior his sickle. And that was a seal of the covenant that they had made between them. So please, exchange your gifts. And then they said this. And now you say that.
May it be done to us if we fail to keep our oath.
That's right. And they walked through the slain animals. Because that's what they're saying. May it be done to us if we fail to keep the promise that we made. Do you understand that? Okay? That's why promises are very, very important to keep. Okay? Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Can we give them... And at the end of the ritual, God appeared as a smoking pot and a flaming torch. Abraham had fallen asleep in his dealings with God, and God sealed the covenant alone, the covenant with Abraham. Jeremiah 31:31, the new covenant, or the covenant of grace that was to be written on our hearts and minds of each and every believer. Jesus did it with power of the Holy Spirit. We remember this covenant when we share in communion. I have Jesus here. I don't have to go searching for him. I don't have to go three mountains over and two valleys down. I have Jesus here with me. With me. Luke 22:20, the new covenant in his blood and his only blood. Now, how many of you have ever heard about a secret? Somebody gets on television and says, I have a secret for you that I'm going to tell you that's going to change your life and you'll never be the same. You ever heard that before? Okay. Now, man-made secrets usually don't last, right? But God's secrets do. And God has a secret he wants to share with you. And I want you to listen closely to this. Have you ever struggled or fretted because your life wasn't going the way you wanted it to? Is it getting quiet here? You pray to God and you think you know what you want, but it just doesn't come. You feel frustrated. And then sometimes you get what you want only to discover that it really doesn't make you happy and it really wasn't what you wanted at all. Disillusioned. Some of us repeat the cycle several times, wondering what we are doing wrong. The secret that I'm talking about is obedience. Remember back in Genesis? What did God deal with? Obedience. Obedience. And the bigger secret is in the doing of the obedience. It's easy to say, well, I'm obedient to God, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Okay? It's in the doing of the obedience that you will find the blessing and find the secret that maybe you're looking for. In the doing. Repeat that after me. In the doing of the obedience. Well, you know, you say, you know, I know that. Pastor Tom, you're not telling me anything I don't know. I've read that in the Bible, and I know that. And gosh, I've even saw a movie on it, and I've talked about it in Bible study. You know, we know that. The secret in doing is putting this great truth into action or practice by making it such a powerful theme in your life that you view every event, every sorrow, every prayer with unshakable conviction that God is totally, spotlessly trustworthy. I came to a time in my life in college, this was the second time around for me, when the professors were sort of questioning the scriptures, and I was really confused. I was a new Christian. I'd only been a Christian a year. And here they're telling me, well, you know, this is for the Israel people, this is for you. This is, you know, you can't do it all. And I'm saying, wait a minute. So I went out to the forest. I put my Bible down and I said, Lord, I believe every word in this Bible to be absolutely true, without falsehood. And guess what? My questions went away. And I could say to those professors and to my fellow students, I believe in God's word. From this cover to this cover. Without question. Without question. Now, how many of you would say Jesus is Lord of your life? Okay? Good. There's quite a few of you. Let me ask you another question. Would you give me your checkbook to look through it and see if Jesus is really Lord of your life?
How many of you raise your hand on that one? Not as many. Yeah, I'm stepping on toes. I know it. But your money will tell you what you value. Check your checkbook out. See if you're obedient. See if you have that secret. See if your checkbook doesn't read restaurant, restaurant, restaurant. Close, close, close. Lord's mission, Lord's mission, Lord's mission. What is it? I know I'm stepping on toes, but that's okay. You see, I'm a pastor emeritus. That sounds old, doesn't it? Well, I am. Okay? I had a guy once tell me, after I asked him to take the garbage out at a church we were starting, that he had to pray about it. And I'm going, what do you got to pray about? All I did was ask you to take the garbage out. And he comes back to me about 5 minutes later and said, God told me I didn't have to do it. My, my. Abraham had to learn that God was totally in control. Moses had to learn that God was totally in control. David, with all his sin, had to learn that God was in control. Paul had to learn that God was in control. Peter, who stumbled around as badly as I do, had to learn that God is totally in control. Submission to God's will is absolutely vital. Someone who has gone through serious heart problems, not mentioning any names, for 35 years, death of loved ones, broken relationships, career disappointments, I can tell you that trusting is a lifelong challenge. Just doesn't happen overnight. You never arrive. Each new challenge calls for recommitment. The good news is the more you do it, you see God's loving hand working in your life and moving through and touching you in those difficult times when you really don't want to smile, when you really don't want to do it. But because He's there, it encourages you. You see God's loving hand working in your life. Then the trust and obedience become easier. Listen to this song.
When we walk through the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side on the way. What He says He will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Come up here and help me for a moment. I want you to take the Helping Hands box, okay? And I want to pass it around, okay? I don't know how much is in there, but the reason I'm doing this is, you know, that checkbook thing we talked about will prove if you're really following God's will and if Jesus is really Lord of your life. Maybe you might want to make up something, and I think the Helping Hands box is a great thing to do. You don't have to put a ton of money in there. Symbol, all right? Do that. Do that. And we'll play a song. I don't know what it is. This is interjected on the moment. So,
oh, let's just praise the Lord.
Okay, that's good. Okay. That's good. Okay, go ahead. If you could.
For those who don't know, the Helping Hands box is something that we have up here in the front. And anybody can put money in it. Anybody can take money out of it. It's just here for those who have a need.
We thank you for your love. We've been men in heavenly places, felt blessings from above. We've been sharing all the good things the family can afford. Let's just turn our praise toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Just the precious name of Jesus is worthy of our praise. Let us bow our knees before Him and hands to heaven raise. When He comes in clouds of glory with Him to ever reign, let's lift our happy voices and praise His name. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord.
I'll tell you a funny story. I was young, my first church, and one Sunday night, after we had taken the offering, I just felt like there was somebody in the audience that needed some help. And I couldn't figure out a way to help them. And so I asked the deacons who took the offering, okay, here comes the deacons. And I said, I want you to take the plates and pass them around again. And if you need some money, take it out.
Well, I had three deacons who just went like that. Okay? And one of them whispered to me, "We've never done this before." And I said, "Yeah, you're probably right. You've never done it before. We're going to do it tonight." And sure enough, there was one young man who needed some help and took some money out of the plate. Now, the next morning at breakfast time, I'm sitting at home having breakfast. Here comes the three deacons, thrum, 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 at my door. "Pastor Tom, we need to talk to you." "Oh, I bet you do." "Please come in. Would you like coffee with arsenic in it?" No. No, I didn't say that. I was gracious, and I said, "What can I do for you, gentlemen?" They said, "Are we going to do this every Sunday night? Because you know that might deplete our offering." And I said, "But I know one young man took out of that and really needed it. How are we going to do that?" So we came to agreement that I could do what I want, but they were going to watch it very closely. Now, remember obedience. It's the doing of obedience that's important, right? When you say something, do it. Okay? That's my message, and I'm sticking to it. I think you're dismissed. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, let's give a big hand, another hand for Tom. That was really good. One more thing about this box. A member of ours, Terry Fleming, who passed away, was a landlord. And he was talking to some of his tenants about how we did this helping hands. And so one of the tenants made this box for us. Didn't really know anything about our church other than what Terry said, but made this box. So we've used this many times. We've had people walk in the back door before a service and say, "You know, I'm stranded. I need to get somewhere." And we'd be able to give them money. We had a homeless vet that called one day, and I happened to answer the phone. And he was trying to get into some housing, but he needed a place to stay for that one night. We were able to take some money and give it to him. So you never know what's going to happen. But it seems like money goes in here and money goes out. We don't know who takes it out. We don't know who puts it in, but praise the Lord. So we have fellowship time. I hope all of you can stay and enjoy and meet people you haven't seen before. And have a beautiful day. Great day. All rise.